Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the New Media Show. After much hassles trying to get started here, I don't know. Maybe we're just too old for this, Rob. But this system should not. This system should not be that hard to get started.
Well, I think it's also another issue with computers today. They're still too difficult to configure with audio. There's just too many settings, too many different places. It just needs to be easier.
You know, and considering there's $50,000 worth of video component here and I'm running on a, you know, $89 webcam today is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and you're actually using the actual microphone that's built into your webcam, right?
Yeah, that's all I'm using right now.
Yeah. So, Todd, I'm using the microphone that you love so much.
Yeah. I got one of those. You know, I did pick one up for $29.95. So when they're $29.95, they're at least good for being used as a gavel.
Yeah. Well, Todd, let's get into the show and start talking about the hot stuff that's going
on. Hey, good morning, everyone. And I know you don't want to hear us bitching about Blab. And I do apologize for the shitty audio today. So we're going to get this figured out and dialed in. But we got a lot to talk about today. And of course, Rob, where are you?
I'm in Barcelona, Spain. I'm in an apartment with the Spreaker team. Actually, Francesco, the CEO of Spreaker, is sitting in the room right with me here over on the couch. I can actually turn my camera, and you might be able to see him. And I can't turn the camera.
So you guys, are plotting on how you're going to take over the world, huh?
You bet.
There he is.
Hello, Todd. How are you doing?
Doing good, Francesco. How are you?
I'm fine. I can just read your lips because I can't hear you. But just go back on the couch.
All right.
It's called extra talent.
So, yeah. Rob, if your retreat events are like my retreat events, there's lots of drinking and eating involved. So
there's been a lot of that here as well. So, not exactly the same food that I eat in the U.S.
Well, I, you know, and you being vegetarian, how's that working out?
I'm like mostly eating fish.
Yeah.
And it's not something I normally eat too much. But, you know, the salmon is actually pretty good here.
Oh, good. Well, anyway, so, you know, just to, you know, you're there with your team working on, you know, what you guys are, obviously, you're plotting what you're going to do.
Plotting. Yeah. Scheming.
Yeah, we do our plotting meeting in February of all places. We have our, they don't like me to call it retreat anymore. But we have our working weekend in Chicago in February. So,
well, Todd, is it because you guys don't play enough? Is that the reason why they don't call it a retreat?
Well, if it's a retreat, they'll come here to Hawaii. So it's you know, so it's a working weekend in Chicago. So yeah, I sacrifice and go deal with the snow and cold for a few days. I keep threatening I'm going to force them to come here sometime, but that's beyond the discussion here. But hey, what'd you think about the Live 365 podcast radio announcement we made earlier this week?
I think it was great that you did that deal with them. I think it's an interesting combination of online radio and podcasting. You know, I know that's what Spreaker's all about to some extent as well. So, you know, I think we talked about how streaming could impact podcasting. And I thought it was kind of a little amusing that you did that deal somewhat.
Well, it was, you know, again, it's not live. This is, it's not a live play. It's people putting their archives up and put them up in rotation.
Yeah, you bet.
So,
today was this week was the big week for Serial.
Yeah.
So we definitely want to talk about that.
I'm getting mixed, I guess for a better word, mixed reactions to that next version or that next, you know, the next series here. I've been asking some people privately what they thought, and they said, eh, it's about the same. So I guess that's the formula that works. We'll see. But, yeah. You know, they did definitely pick a hot topic.
Well, yeah, and also if you listen to the actual show itself, we were kind of observing it from Spain here, but it sounds like they're using some dynamic insertion in the show and doing some geo-targeting.
So how did it sound?
From what we heard, it sounds like they are doing some brand advertising as well as, some DR advertising. So but they seem to be, switching the ads out.
So did the insertion play smoothly, or did it really sound like an ad?
Well, I think it kind of depends on what you're talking about when you say that. Most of the insertions that I hear are usually pretty smooth. It's just how disruptive are they, I guess, and that's up to the production. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everyone has high hopes that they do good. I hope they rock it. You know, if they knock it out of the ballpark and have 25 million people listen to the show.
Yeah.
So,
they certainly have gotten a lot of press and a lot of media.
Right.
Yeah, it was the top story in the kind of spinoff area. I think it was called the Glazer. That's part of Tech Meme. Yeah, I saw that. There was like 100 articles.
Jeez, that's I tell you what, the press loves NPR, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, I even see, Nick that does the newsletter every week. He only talks about NPR. He doesn't talk about anything else going on in the space. So they are so scope locked on their world. And the press, what can you say? The liberal press, liberal NPR. So it ends up being, they give them, it's just like, it's just kind of almost like politics.
Yeah. So I guess Daniel's saying that he heard an ad for cereal on Pandora yesterday.
Well, that shouldn't be surprising because they're featuring the content, right?
Yeah. I'm sure they probably paid some money to get access to that.
You don't think that Pandora didn't do that to bring audience in? I can't imagine NPR paying.
Well, they probably maybe are getting a share of it. I don't know if the advertising that's in Serial that's on Pandora or is actually the same advertising that's in the other side. I haven't heard it on Pandora.
Right. Well, interesting play, but as everyone knows, Pandora, well, maybe this will be a genesis for Pandora doing more stuff, but I think they're only going to do onesie-twosies based on discussions we've had with them in the past. I can't see them ramping up. Maybe they will. Who knows?
Yeah, I see that Michael Dell is saying that Pandora is paying Serial.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Which makes sense.
Well, they're going to pay them rev share. Can't imagine them doing it for free.
Yeah, totally. So, big week.
Yeah. So, this thing we did with the Live 365, really, it's a distribution play. So, it's in what we're finding. And I think what's worth mentioning here is that folks that listen to any type of streaming radio are very different in their listening habits. Podcasters typically will listen to the entire episode, whereas streaming radio folks will jump in for 20 minutes, 10 minutes, the average listening time. And this is what I'm seeing on the stuff that I'm doing without any promotion. The stream's doing about 5,000 listens a day for about 20 minutes. They listen about 20 minutes of the show and then they're not on. So I think, it's definitely, it's not on demand because they'll pick up the content wherever it is in the loop. So I think that's a big thing for people to know. It's not a, you know, you're not going to listen to the beginning of the episode if you come in on one of those streams. So it's important for content creators to remember throughout their show to, you know, if they're in a 20-minute block, to say, hey, by the way, come over to geeknewscentral.com and grab the show, so that those folks that are on, they're listening on the radio side, on the live radio side, are not live. The people that are in the channel will know where to go to get the content. So what I'm seeing, and actually what my team is seeing, is that we're getting, matter of fact, Todd Ani, Elder Divide, he's in my playlist. He's in the loop. And he says that he's seen in the first 10 days of December more growth on his show than he's seen in like 3 months. So it's we're using it as a basis to get discovered, and then people come back and listen to the content. So really, I think the play here is you have two or three episodes max in rotation, maybe two, maybe your two latest. People bop in, they listen for a little bit, they come out, they bop back in later on. So if you're producing a couple shows a week, you can probably have a couple. But I, you know, got five shows in the playlist, and without any promotion up until Tuesday, nary a word from me to my audience where that content was at. So the discovery was native. There was no, and that the another thing too is the area within Live 365, TuneIn, all the distribution points that they go to, which I think are about 20. There is spoken word as the category, and the spoken word category is, well, it's not as thick as the music genres. So there's a definitely advantage right now for being able to be discovered there.
Well, you know, the Tech Podcast Network started doing that by, right, back in 2005. You know, I remember we were working together.
Yep.
To do this on my Windows Stream, right, servers back in the day. So this is a concept that's really not new.
No.
And I built a huge audience for the show I was doing at the time on streaming servers back in the day.
And I think the thing we liked about the Live 365 deal was that it was, you know, as wide as they go. And, you know, you can be in iTunes twice now. You can be in the iTunes radio section, and you can be in the iTunes podcast section. So really you're reaching everyone that you're not. And it's, so there's really not a competing audience per se.
So you're saying that the Live 365 also deliver those live streams to the other kind of aggregator of live streams.
That's the key. Yeah. They've got a dozen or more, maybe 20 distribution points, including dashboard stuff already as well. So, you know, it's really, it goes, we're in the new Pioneer, these are aftermarket, Pioneer players that go in the dashboard. They're in there. It's all distribution. It's about expanding distribution, about being wider in your, where you can be heard.
Yeah.
But there's even ways to get the shows. It's in the Windows Media
Guide.
Yeah. So,
which a couple of years ago, that whole area was really kind of de-emphasized.
Right.
So it's not really a big priority anymore.
I think if you're, don't quote me on this, but I think you can find a show on the Xbox via the Windows Media Guide now. I might be wrong, but that's, I think, what I was implied. So,
yeah, I think at the time they were looking at exploring using that guide in a variety of other places. So that they probably did find a couple of places.
But again, it doesn't really matter where. It's just as long as they can, and that's really kind of the play there. So that's what we've done. And you know, it's not an inexpensive proposition. It's $69 a month. So you have to weigh, you know, what you're going to get out of this. You know, I think that for us, the playlist stuff has been where we're finding the value. So,
yeah, I think that there's a play for that, and we'll see. On another topic, I just want to mention, in this Wednesday's episode of the Spreaker Live show that I did, I did a conversation with Rob Cass, who's the VP of digital audio for Nielsen. And he talked about the whole Nielsen SDK.
Right.
So if anybody listening to this wants to go listen and get a lot more detail directly on the whole Nielsen thing directly from Nielsen, you should check that interview out. It's only about 25 minutes.
Well, one thing, Rob, you never know who's listening to this show, because we did get, I got some private feedback.
Well, I get it all the time too. I know.
Yeah.
From who this time?
Yeah, well, I won't say, but okay. Rebel roused some ears.
So is it a good thing usually, you think?
Yeah, it's okay.
You think we say too much sometimes?
No, we don't. I think you're more cautious than I am. So.
Oh, I see.
I have a tendency to step on toes. So.
Yeah, well, that's kind of consistent over the last 10 years that I've known you. But that's okay.
That's
what keeps everybody tuning in.
Yeah, it is. But, if you watch what's going on with the space, of course, it's going to be quiet the next couple of weeks. Everyone's wrapping up and getting ready for, Christmas and New Year's. And so it's, I think it's going to be relatively quiet. But what I have found to be dramatically different this year, I keep a log of when we get inquiries from media companies. And I would say that from about November 15th to, last week, the number of new media buyer inquiries, companies I've never talked to before, was higher than I've ever seen in the past. So, and the questions and the answers I'm having to give them are surprising them, because there's still a certain fair number of those that want to get into the big shows. I'm like, the big shows are sold out. And they mean, what do you mean they're sold out? Well, they're sold out. And at least our big shows are sold out. And then we start talking about, again, going into the next layer of going into shows that we're perfectly set up to serve. And that conversation has changed finally. It's their, companies I'm talking to are open to
going wide.
Yeah, going wide. So they still have to go back and sell it to the boss, and they want more details on shows. And we're going to have to change some tactics next year with our content creators. So, because they're wanting it faster.
Yeah.
It used to be, I used to have 2 weeks, 3 weeks to plan a campaign. I had a guy call me on a Thursday, wanted to launch on a Monday, wanted to spend $15,000 through the end of the month. And, it's not hard to turn on that type of inventory if you've got a couple of weeks, but to try to turn on that type of inventory, and the specific shows that he wanted, and he had a very narrow demo to reach, very difficult to do that fast. If he'd have said, okay, 2 weeks, then we could have, we could have spent some time on the phone and called 10, 20, 30 content creators, find out what availability they had. So these media buyers can't be coming to us with the end of the year wrap up money and trying to get into a very specific niche. They need to plan that a little longer. And I basically told them, as much as I'd love to spend your money, I just don't have the right makeup of shows to be able to do this. And plus, sadly, a lot of content creators take Christmas off. They should not. This is the time, as you and I've talked about, that from December 25th to January 15th is number one growth time in podcasting. You need to be cranking out extra episodes during that time.
Yeah. Well, that certainly makes sense. I don't know. I mean, I think that the selling long is certainly something that or selling wide is certainly something that Spreaker is thinking about a lot too. And I think we both have done deals with Trident. And that's a little bit about going wide as well. But obviously you have a tool that can traffic to large groups of shows. I don't think anybody else has that.
Well, and speaking of Trident, the Trident situation is, they're a great partner, but you have to have some volume to talk to them. You need to be in that 10,000 listeners per episode, probably before it's even financially worth talking to them.
Able to roll up a lot of shows that can build a lot of audience too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's, that's kind of the situation. And there's challenges. And, we don't have to get into here because we've talked about it many times, but there is challenge of this programmatic advertising buying. Mm-hmm. It's just, across the board, the cost to doing that, not only in sales commissions, but in cost of service. I think a lot of content creators are going to cringe when they say, here's the split. Now, this is what it's going to cost you to do this. I think
But the facts of the matter is that it's coming and it's going to be a big factor in this medium.
Well, it's going to be a big factor. It's going to be fine for the big shows because they make it up in volume, but for the smaller shows, it's going to be very difficult to work.
Well, it depends on what your expectations are, right? It's around income, around this.
Well, when the CPMs are nowhere near a third of maybe what they would be normally before the cut.
Yeah.
You're not going to get $20 or $25 CPMs on programmatic ad buying. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because it's all automated. It's partially automated, but it's...
The key question is it possible to traffic high CPM campaigns across a wide swath of shows?
Yes.
I think that's the magic question or the $50,000 question.
It is, but I think it's going to take a new player to do it.
Like what kind of player? Like a YouTube of podcasting?
No, not a new player, but maybe an existing player.
Oh, is there anybody that we know?
It's just the model has to be different, Rob, because I don't think that the suits of the world, those corporations are out there that are trying to get in the space, understand fully that the content creator is also the radio station. You have a radio station, they do a deal with the radio station. Radio station pays a salary to the talent.
Yeah.
So the radio station can take a low advertising rate and could care less. The content creator who controls this is the radio station. So they're not going to want to go with the lower CPMs.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, if you look at like a Podcast One, or a mid-roll media. Those guys limit the number of shows that they handle too.
True.
And I do know that they would be interested probably in having technology that would enable them to traffic host reads across a larger group of shows. If they have the right tool, maybe it's possible.
Yeah, I haven't talked to the mid-roll folks on that particular topic. So,
what's that? I couldn't understand.
I haven't talked to the mid-roll folks on that particular topic. So,
I mean, if it can generate more revenue across a larger group of shows, and it's easier to traffic, I think one of the reasons why it's obviously driven by the advertisers, but if there's some way that they can prove that it's unduplicated audience, and that it scales across larger shows and the advertisers feel comfortable with the being able to trust the ad network that the shows are safe, I think it might be possible.
Chat room, Grizzly Growl says podcasters also don't have necessarily have a breadth of shows where the payback on some can subsidize to a certain extent other shows. That's true. So, you know, it's the same. It's the TV model. You know, you got the big show that is kind of, yeah, or the big channel, the prime channel, and then all the subsidiary channels that are sold along with it. And yeah.
Well, you know, I think that somewhat exists in podcasting today. You look at even Twit with Leo Laporte. I think there's really a couple of shows that really bring in all the revenue, and the lesser shows probably don't.
Every network needs a few anchor shows for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And hey, I think got this. Oh, go ahead.
I opened up the seat if anybody wants to jump in. If you have something to add to the conversation, so feel free to jump in the seat. Try to make this a little more between just Rob and I today.
Yeah, yeah. That's the whole point why we're on Blab.
Oh, wrong button here. So here comes Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, hey, here it looks, Matt, like you're rocking it.
I'm just sitting in the, did a little cleaning today. Finally got things kind of straightened up here and ready to do some recording today. And, I just started a podcast about, 10 episodes ago. I started doing it weekly. It's for music entrepreneurs and, trying to help musicians figure out how to make sense of the music business in today's world and come up with creative ideas to bring in revenue since nobody wants to buy our plastic discs anymore, you know? So, anyway, this is kind of a new, you know, I'm starting an online business. You know, I'm a retired military guy. I've got over 1 million followers on, Google and, you know, kind of built that up. And now I'm moving into the podcast world, trying to make a better connection with my people out there. And, you know, but, this is kind of a different layer of the discussion that this is the kind of the first time I've been exposed to this higher level of discussion when it comes to podcasts. And, I just, as far as networks and different, you know, where podcasts are going, and it's just really interesting to me, but I just wanted to say hi and,
thanks for coming on.
Yeah. So
ex-military, you decided to go long hair. I decided to stay short. So
yeah. What branch? I'm a retired Air Force guy. So
I was Navy guy. So
Navy guy. Sweet.
Yeah. Old habits die hard.
Yeah. I basically said, you know what? I'm not cutting it anymore. I'm done. So, you know, but I mean, it goes with what I'm doing, you know.
That's right.
I'm trying to get rid of the day job and be a professional musician, but it's kind of weird because, you know, now with today's digital landscape, it's very, very difficult to make a jump when you're not like a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and so, you know, I'm really having to think of things very carefully and get the money rolling before I can do that. So that's why I'm kind of going with the branding and education side of it first, get the money rolling so that I don't sink my boat. I already tried that once. And, after I hit 1 million followers, I thought it was like magic and I would become a millionaire. Right. Yeah. No. So I had to reinvent, but I really think podcasting is a great way to make a connection. It's really starting to, I've been doing it. Well, I was doing it weekly for about 3, 4, 5 episodes. And then I decided I'm just going to start doing it this week. I decided I'm going to start doing it daily. So I'm just cranking it out daily.
Yeah,
it is, but it's brutal, but it's already making a difference. I'm starting to get people to respond and leave comments and feedback. And so, you know, I'm trying to gather my niche group of people, you know.
So the question and the caution I have for you is going daily, are you going to have enough content to go daily and stay consistent with the quality on the show? That's, you know, the guys that go daily, I worry about them not only mentally, because it's tough to do a daily show. You have to be really dedicated to do it. But number two, do you have enough fresh content every day to keep the show fresh and cool?
Yeah. I mean, what I do is I'm a networker. That's my biggest strength besides playing the guitar. And so I am really good at getting guests that are outside of the music industry. You know, I've got a lot of people, well, I haven't told anybody who yet, but I have some pretty awesome social media titans coming on the show. And I've got, you know, financial people. You know, it's kind of like the music business is so, it used to be so narrow. You know, you're like, okay, I'm going to do my demo and I'm going to give it to the record company and then they're going to take care of me, right? That's what people thought. That was the dream, right? Well, today, that's not the dream anymore, because nobody, record companies have to have records to sell, you know, to, you know, make money. So that it's not really a good model for the artist. So, so now I'm trying to think of different ways to brand, different things to brand with your music and your art. And so with all of these different business models on the internet right now, it's just, you know, almost endless, the possibilities. So I'm just trying to come up with every angle that you could brand with your music from, you know, this is not their traditional show. You know, this is like everything. Music and coffee, music and painting, music and, you know, vegetable gardening, you know, whatever. Whatever you can pair your music with, that's what I'm going to try to bring in. So, no, I think I'll be okay. I'm going to try to keep it interesting by bringing in all those weird angles.
And one thing's for sure is musicians have to be almost as good at business people as they are musicians these days. So
absolutely. And that's where I think so many artists are falling down, because, you know, we just want to play our music in front of as many people as possible and do what we want. Right. But unfortunately that, you know, and you're going to have to get some leadership and some team building skills if you want to do that, because you're going to have a team. You're going to have to make your own record company, so to speak.
Yep.
It's going to take care of you and you're going to be the boss. And if it fails, it's your fault.
Yep.
You know,
Rob, you wanted to say something. I stepped on you. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, it's, I mean, the whole music and podcasting is a whole nother topic to talk about on the show. I know I've lost a lot of the video feeds from you guys. I can still hear you, but I can't see you.
Oh, did your connection go? Did your connection go wonky?
Yeah, I mean, so can you see me?
Yeah, I see you. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, you probably need to refresh. Yeah. You may need to pop out of the window and come back in too.
Yeah, let me do that right now.
Well, Matt, good luck with your show. It's sounds like you're off to a good start, and good luck with that daily, you know, doing the daily thing. That's a big gig. Some big shoes to follow, I guess, for better words.
Well, you know, the interesting what Rob was saying about the music side of it is, I'm branding my, I got too many buttons in here. I'm branding my show with all of my own music. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually, as I build my audience, build my tribe or whatever you want to call it, I'm going to do things like album releases where I play the whole album on the podcast, or, you know, different things to, so, you know, because I have a really nice recording studio in here. So I could do pretty much everything myself. So, you know, I'm going to do like live music and all kinds of stuff, you know, and Blab is really cool too. I'm trying to figure out the audio on it and get it sounding really good.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, and let us know how it works out and what's working and what isn't. And what is the name of your show so people can go subscribe?
Oh, it's a Kingdom of Rock. And you can check it out at kingdomofrock.com, and it's in iTunes and Stitcher Radio and all the other places that I don't know if anybody goes to, but.
How did you get that domain? That was like Kingdom of Rock. I mean, that's like.
You know, awesome. I spent about 2 weeks trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I was, you know, typing in domain names, and it was just like, no, no, no. Okay. Well, yeah, that one's not very good. Okay. And then one day it just came to me. It's just like writing a lyrics or a poem or a paper over and over and over again. Eventually you're going to find the right thing. And it just, I was like, holy cow, that's available. I was like, I'm taking that, gone. So, and then, you know, it's good with my brand too, because I'm a rock guy. So,
yeah,
I think it's attracting a lot of people from other genres though, too. So,
well, I anyway. Think you are really lucky on getting that domain name. Make sure you keep it renewed.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, hey guys, nice meeting you, and nice. I'll see you around.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yep.
So, Rob, you know, Rob, there's a classic example of the core of the podcasting space.
Yeah, it is. It's the guy that is creative and talented and wants to produce content. I think one of the huge kind of untapped opportunity is music and podcasting. I think that the music industry needs to figure out a way to allow artists to promote their podcasts or to promote their music in podcasting. But there's just no license to do it.
But guys like Matt are the guys that I'm worried the most about.
Yeah.
I was in a chat on Google Plus earlier the week, and, you know, someone was talking about a podcaster's course that people pay for, and in the individual during an interview that does the course, the individual during the interview admitted that the success rate of his shows that he instructs is like 15-20%. I haven't heard the show, so I don't want to, I'm paraphrasing here the what was put in the Google Plus account. But it goes back to, you know, those numbers for many, many years of what the failure rates of shows, you know, we've seen such high failure rates of shows that if we're losing 75 or 80% of the podcasters that start within the first 2 years that they are starting their show, well, you know, 50% of those shows probably would have failed anyway, but I don't know, maybe 20% is a great number to, after 2 years, to be able to say survived. I don't know, but guys like Matt and the content creators that have shows 10K and listeners and below per episode, they make up 97-98% of the podcasting space. And we have to find a way to make it, make their shows sustainable. Not everyone's a marketeer. Not everyone's a SEO and social media expert. Some people just like creating great content.
Yeah. And not everybody's going to be able to make a living out of doing this stuff. I mean, that's probably never going to happen.
A living's one thing, but beer money.
Just getting cover your costs.
Car payment.
Maybe
a house payment. You know, those are absolutely achievable by the high majority of shows.
Yeah. Well, I think we got to get to a higher level of scale on distribution. And I think that's going to take time.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen 2 years from now or probably 3 years from now. It's going to slowly build. I mean, as you think about how we got to where we are today, it was a slow climb. Yeah. And I think a lot of radio listeners need to start converting over to listening to on-demand content like podcasts.
Yeah.
It's just going to take time for that migration to happen. You know, being in Spain here, actually, we're doing a podcast related meetup actually later tonight. Here in Barcelona, where local Spanish podcasters are going to meet up with Spreaker here. So I'm going to get to meet some Spanish podcasters here in about an hour or so.
Rob, just watch out for the Uzo.
The Uzo. What's that?
If you haven't had no Uzo yet, you're going to have some Uzo while you're there.
Okay. What's that, a drink? Okay. Yeah, I haven't been drinking too much. I've had a few beers, but that's about it.
Have to have some good, I'm sure you've been having, Spain, when you go into the grocery stores in Spain, you know, we have tubs of peanuts and cashews, and they have tubs of olives.
Yeah, lots of olives here, that's for sure. Well, you know, a lot of the speaker team is actually from actually north of here, you know, up in Lithuania and in Italy, and we've got a mobile programmer that's in Spain, kind of west of Barcelona towards Portugal. So the team flew in from mostly from Italy. There's about 10 of us that are here. We're in two rooms, so there's about four women on the team, and six guys. So we're in an apartment.
Well, here. I screwed up, Rob. Uzo's in Greece, so you got my country screwed up.
Spanish.
Yeah,
to me.
Yeah. I drank a little bit too much of that, probably in Crete. So.
But it's been really nice here. It's been warm, sunny every day.
Yeah.
There's palm trees. You can kind of see it a little bit behind me on the wall. Yeah. No.
So seats open if you guys want to jump in. Rob and I are kind of like just ad-libbing today and going through. So feel free to jump in if you got questions or comments or thoughts on the new media space or have a problem. We'd love to talk about it. But
yeah, or just what you think of the whole serial launch. One thing that was really interesting, Todd, and we haven't talked about it yet, but serial did a deal with Facebook. They actually got a little player embed that I've never seen before that basically enables the playback of 4 minutes of the serial's first episode. But that's it. And then there's a big button that you click on to go to the Serial website. But you can listen to it up to 4 minutes.
Did they just not put that? Didn't they create an audio file that was put it in as a video file? With a, no?
No, this is it's a completely unique user experience. It's not something I've seen on Facebook before. So it looks like something that was specifically enabled by Facebook. And it does kind of make you wonder. There's been a lot of rumors, and I think there's been a couple of articles that have come out saying that Facebook might become the next big podcasting platform.
But here's the challenge with that, unless Facebook makes some changes. People are moving around in Facebook.
People don't listen. Yeah, people don't listen to long-form content there. And I think what you see there with the 4 minutes clip is an example of if Facebook was behind that, they probably took real data to make that. Because I'm sure that Serial probably would have preferred to give people access to the whole show there. But there may be some reason why they put it at 4 minutes, because that's maybe the upper limit of what people are listening to on Facebook.
Well, if you've been, you know, if you're like me and you're scrolling through Facebook and there's a 4 minute video, I'll watch the 4 minute video.
That's right. And that probably is applicable to audio as well. Yeah. And that's about the average duration of a piece of music too.
Yeah. There has to be a way, though, if they wanted to make it long form, to be able to shove that player somewhere else in the window where you're scrolling through your newsfeed or go to a group. It doesn't change. But hey, Mike, welcome.
Hello, guys. Mike. Wow, lots of echoing in my head. Oh, I know what it is. Anyway, I talked earlier this morning about the Serial thing on another show on Blab here, so I'm kind of repeating myself for those of you that were on that other Blab. But I think what it is on Serial, the newest one, I listened to most of the first episode, and there was probably 10 minutes of actual content there and a lot of music and special, sound effects and, dramatic. You know, it's entertaining. I give it that, but you could condense that whole story into maybe 2 hours. And, and same thing with the first one. I was actually suggesting somebody go in and edit the whole first season of Serial and just have the relevant content and see how long that actually took instead of the 12 hours it took them to tell the story.
Yeah.
I guess entertainment value has a value, but...
Well, I think that the serial effect kind of has a self-perpetuating momentum behind it. And I don't know how else to say it nicely, but it feels like that the hype and the promotion around it kind of exceeds its content quality, or the content value, I guess, might be a good way of saying
Rob,
it.
Rob, you just earned yourself 500 emails.
You guys don't have my email, at least the listeners don't.
I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong on this. I don't want to get flamed here, but it feels a little overhyped for what it is. And I think it's probably overall good for podcasting, but I also don't want it to be a distraction. Such a big star shining up there that it outshines really what got podcasting to where it is today. And that's the tens of thousands of great shows that are out there.
Yeah, as far as the press is concerned, Serial pretty much invented it, or at least some of the press.
And that's part of the problem.
It's not true, but it's an entertaining story. The first one was, I'm sure this one will be also, but like I said, they just need to condense it down a little bit. I understand the way NPR style shows do their production, but this one just seemed a little bit, the first one seemed just a little bit more of that going on. I mean, I think they're doing the high production stuff for the sake of doing the high production stuff, not to add to the story.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. Email Rob.
Well, I think if you think about from the whole high production stuff, the programs that I've heard, like the audio dramas, like We're Alive, the Night Vale series, they actually use that high production value for a lot of value. But I think, like the Radio Labs and the This American Life, they use that audio kind of drama that they create in a pretty good and effective way. It's very labor intensive to create that content.
A lot of splicing. You saw where Gimlet just got $6 million in more venture capital to add however many more shows. And it was amazing the number of employees they have. And they've got, 4 shows now? Something?
Yeah, because they spend a lot of time in the field with producers that are researching things and going out and getting audio interviews, and then they bring them all back, and they have editors that stitch it all together.
They're great content. And like I said, it's highly produced and all that. It's just, here I am sitting in my basement in the middle of the woods up here, and, I put out my podcast. Obviously, I don't have a staff. And I wouldn't say mine is $6 million less valuable than theirs.
But Todd, Michael is another example of the roots of podcasting, and how the Serial series is kind of fragmenting what's happening. And I guess it's, I don't know.
I call that, I'm an advanced hobbyist, and I'm not in it to make a living or anything. I just enjoy doing it. And, plus I'm in the business, so to speak. So, I kind of have to use all these tools to know what I'm talking about when I'm trying to help somebody.
Yeah.
I kind of think that those companies that are, they got $6 million, congratulations, but they're under true pressure to be able to, they're going to be expected to launch a number of shows with that. They, and they want those shows to be successful.
So
you got all those investors, they've got to keep happy too. So they've, they're not just serving their audience, they're also serving the other side with all the investors and stuff.
Yeah. And I think that the expectations have been set by the Gimlet folks as well. I mean, by putting it out there that they want to be the HBO of podcasting. That's a lot of pressure to put on yourself.
And I do like the comment from Modern Life, what he just said in the chat room. Serial's current topic should not be considered entertainment. It's a topic of disgrace. And that individual that they're talking about, he's responsible for a lot of military guys' deaths.
Yeah.
And he is directly responsible for that. So, you know, and I'm, you know, in all sense of the word, he's a deserter, and a deserter on the battlefield, which is, in my opinion, even worse. So, and it's politically, it's been political. The reason he hasn't been prosecuted at this point. So I don't know. I'm just, I got major issues with that individual. So any topic around him pisses me off to no end. And being an ex-military guy.
I guess that's
what
it's about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll get out of here, guys. Have a good show.
And some people will take umbrage to that, but I don't know. We'll see how they portray him. And Mike, what do you think the portrayal so far is?
The little bit that I listened to, like I said, I listened to probably 2/3 of that show, and they're basically, they've got an interview with Bo Bergdahl and a filmmaker, and it's not really an interview. It's just, you know, them discussing stuff. So I don't know. He was saying that he was doing this to make some sort of point, you know, about his command and stuff. But the guy was a 23-year-old sergeant. You know, sometimes they don't have a whole lot to say about command. But, you know, being ex-military, I know I didn't have a whole lot when I was at that level. You know. Anyway.
No, it's like, yes, sir, can I have another?
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here, guys. Have a good day.
Okay. Great.
So
Michael,
they definitely picked a controversial topic, Rob. So, you know, that is one thing that they did do.
Yeah. Well, they they picked the subject of the series. I guess they have to accept the consequences for that.
Yeah. Well, and it I think a lot of it, I'll reserve judgment till we get to the end of the series and see how they portray him throughout. So I think a lot of people will too, but
yeah.
So a lot of people up in the active area, if you got a show, feel free to come on and really we're open topic. But one topic I did want to talk a little bit more about today, Rob, was the insurgence, I guess, for a better word, that's the wrong word to use in this day and age. The number of new companies, the number of radio stations that are jumping in on podcasting, and how they're making the transition and doing serious looks at the space. I don't know if you have discussions with, and I know you've been to several of these conferences. And we kind of touch upon it lightly with the Dash conference and everything else. But do you, on your side, are you seeing more questions being asked by the radio folks? Should I be in this medium?
Oh, yeah. On those trips that I made to those radio-related conferences, the topics of podcasting was the hot topic. I mean, that's what those folks are curious about. They don't really understand how it can help their business or help their success of their station yet. So there's a lot of questions that they have. And I think there is a lot of the radio folks that are pretty uncomfortable with it because it's such a departure from their current model.
Radio started out as theater of the mind. You know, if you go back and you listen to the beginnings of radio, my God, it was where, you know, it was before television, obviously. So it was where stories were told. And, you know, their genesis is in serial-like content. So I find it hard to believe that, well, maybe I don't. Their model, their business model, their content model has changed over the years.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if they can come back to, you know, theater of the mind again.
Yeah, I think they can. I think that's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be done by the radio folks. And I think that kind of dovetails to another kind of thing that I'm seeing happen more and more is the departure from public radio of podcasting talent.
Well,
there's an example of it that just happened. I guess the Hillary Frank, who's the host of the Longest Shortest Time podcast,
yep,
I guess left WNYC to go to mid-roll.
WNYC has lost a lot of talent recently.
Talent and staff.
Yeah. Sarah leaving was big, going over to Acast. And so, but, you know, it's and they're shows. All still, but they're all friends, you know, that Gimlet Media, Panoply, WNYC, it's all those folks have worked together. Many of them, I think, have for a long time.
Yeah, but they're also what's kind of happening here is that a lot of those folks felt a little restricted by the public radio kind of limitations, right, around what kind of ad messages they could run. And when they leave to go over to what I consider more commercial podcasters or podcast networks, I think it frees them up to do different kind of advertising than what they were limited to do over on the public radio side. So that's part of it.
Yeah. And that could hurt WNYC in the long term too, with all that talent leaving out, but that opens a door for the commercial enterprises to grow. And, you know, Gimlet's going to grow. I have no doubt Gimlet's going to grow.
Yeah.
Same with Panoply. I'm sure those guys are all going to be very successful.
So Todd, maybe, go ahead and finish.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that the iTunes folks put out the 2015 most popular podcast list. Did you see this?
I have not.
The most popular podcast, the number one is Freakonomics, Fresh Air, Planet Money, Radio Lab, Serial, Stuff You Should Know, The Dave Ramsey Show, The Joe Rogan Experience, The Nerdist, and This American Life was their top shows for 2015.
So W2F wasn't in that list?
Nope.
Wow.
That is an interesting little twist, huh?
So yeah. Of that stack, how many of those have their genesis or are NPR shows?
Well, Freakonomics is part of WNYC, right? Fresh Air, public radio, Planet Money, public radio, Radio Lab, public radio. Serial is, I guess, public radio. I'm not sure. Probably not. I don't think so, actually. Let's see. This American Life. The rest of the shows are more independent podcasters. So
six out of 10.
Yeah. Yep.
Hmm. They're still pretty powerful in the space.
Yeah. But you know, if you look at the big picture of public radio though, sure, they may populate a lot of the top 20 of the top 25 right. of podcasting,
but
it's actually a pretty, it doesn't go that deep.
Right.
You know, it's like 10, 15 shows at the most total that are popular in public radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's asking in chat, any news on NMX?
It's dead.
Dead, nothing.
Dead as a doorknob.
Actually, I went on Rick's Facebook page yesterday to look and see if what was kicking and just other people posting to his timeline, nothing from him directly.
Yeah.
So. That leaves me in a pickle. I've got to figure out where we're going with the podcast awards because it looks like that's probably going to revert to me. So,
though I did hear from Rob Walsh that he's going to be, I think Lipson's going to be exhibiting at NAB. So I think there may be a few podcasters still participating with NAB, but not with the new media.
Yeah, we chose to go to a few. I haven't announced it yet, but we're going to a couple of different shows. We've already booked in some other shows. I'll announce it soon. Yeah. But we're going where new customers are going to be. That's probably smart. NAB, like we like exhibiting at NAB, but the challenge with NAB is that you have to be in the right area. If you're not in the right area, you don't get the right booth in the certain area, you'll never be found. So you just have to be in an area that's good for to be there as a content company.
Yeah. So are you hearing anything more about podcast movements and whether or not they're getting hurt at all by the date?
I see in the podcast movement Facebook group, I see a lot of people say they bought their tickets, but I have no clue. I haven't talked to Gary or any of those folks to find out how ticket sales are going. So I think the diehard fans are going to be there. I'm just hoping they pick up, maybe the folks that didn't go to NMX. But a lot of people are now talking about going to social media, that social media event instead of NAB. But that's usually the
social media world event down in San Diego.
Yeah, but it's out of the price range of a lot of folks. That's a real pricey one to go to. So I know that I think Daniel and some of those guys go. I think Daniel's in chat. So maybe Daniel will jump in here, talk about that event a little bit. I don't know if most podcasters can afford it. I think it's $1,500 or something like that for the ticket.
Oh, the actual ticket to attend.
Yeah. Okay. I might be wrong in the price, but it's high.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's too bad.
And there's, so the key is, do we go to Streaming Media West, Streaming Media East? Do we do those types of shows? You know, there's other events. So any.
I've done a lot with the Streaming Media West in the past, and Dan Rayburn's been on this show before, and he runs that. And that show's not really going to connect well with podcasters. It's all streaming video mainly. So I'm not sure that that's going to be a good event.
So it's not an internet radio even event at all then?
Not at all. It's really gravitated a lot toward just streaming video.
They do a lot of over-the-top stuff too.
Correct. That's true. It's all IP-based TV.
Well, I bought the new Apple TV. Very disappointed that there's not a podcast area on the Apple TV. The closest you can get to it is a $2.99 app that isn't too bad, actually, to be able to get access to podcasts. You can tell they're powering it off the iTunes database.
So I have heard that it's coming. I don't know if it's because they're in development with it and they just didn't want to roll over the old one. I've heard that it's coming, but we'll see. Maybe it just didn't get used. Did you ever see any stats? I know I've heard that the stats generally don't show that it was used very much.
I think globally 1-2%.
Yeah.
So pretty low. But also there's... It's, the Apple TV is more designed for listening to or watching
video.
Yeah, watching videos. So,
yeah, it's a video platform.
Better. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's 2,600 apps already for the Apple TV, which I found surprising. So I think they're going to make a major run on Roku. I don't know what's going to happen here with Roku.
Yeah. Well, it was the big thing. It's the same kind of thing as why Microsoft never deployed podcasting on Xbox. They just saw it as a visual medium or a visual platform. They just weren't going to do it audio on there.
Rob, with our delay in getting started today, we're already at 8:23.
So okay.
So we can start wrapping up the show. I know you got some extra stuff to go to tonight. It's late there. It's already, 7:30?
Yep.
So you look like you had a long day of discussions.
No, actually, we've been out getting our team photo. If you want to see some of the kind of stuff we've been doing here, I've been posting a lot of photographs to my Twitter stream, so you can see us, getting team photos on the beach here in Barcelona.
Well, so. Maybe I'll do a group photo against a snowbank when we go to Chicago.
There you go. You guys can all make snow angels or something.
Yeah, we don't have the entire team in. It's mostly the principal business owners come in. So maybe next year we'll have the whole team in for our stuff. But oh, Mike says social media world is 987. So
So
someone asked, what is the issue with NMX? We don't think it's gonna happen. That's the key.
Yeah. It just is dead.
Yeah. So Rob, next week you'll be back, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So my sister scheduled me to go see Star Wars.
Oh, that's right. It's coming, isn't it?
Yeah. On Saturday, the same time that we're supposed to be doing this show. I didn't realize that she had booked the ticket. And I'm going to be in a...
Let's do it Sunday then.
I'm going to be in a low density bandwidth area. So... I think if we potentially can go a little earlier next week, it would be great. When do you get back?
I get back on Tuesday.
So
Tuesday next week.
So maybe think about how early you could actually go on PST time next week or.
Does 8 a.m.?
That would be 11. That's going to push me into the, or maybe we need to do it later. I'll email you and we'll talk about when we can do it.
Yeah, I can do it pretty much anytime.
Okay. All right.
Just let me know when it works.
All right. That'll work. But my bandwidth situation there sucks. So the video will probably be crappy. But anyway, I fly out Tuesday for Columbus. So if you've got questions on today's show, I know it's kind of weird today, but Robbie in Spain, and I'm in the studio without pro gear. That's okay. Todd at newmediashow.com, Rob at newmediashow.com, or you can reach us on Twitter. I'm at Geek News. Rob?
Rob Greenlee. That's with two E's.
And we want you.
So, Todd, are you going to try and do this simulcast with YouTube?
When my card gets here, yeah. So I'm still waiting for Amazon to deliver a Thunderbolt card for my Windows machine.
Okay.
Yeah, as soon as that gets here, then we'll attempt that and see if we can make the tech work.
So this podcaster meetup that we're doing tonight is called Pod Night. And you can go, if you go to my Twitter account, I posted that about one day ago. So it's actually 7:30 Tuesday night or Saturday night. Sorry, I'm all messed up.
All right. And for this,
we're about nine hours ahead of the West Coast.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. Again, kind of sorry for the abbreviated show today. And just we're podcasting, I guess, yeah. All right, everyone, we'll see you next time here.
All right, thank you, everybody.
We'll see you at the New Media Show. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.